Yes, please. Welcome to church this morning. Are you glad to be here? I am. I'm really glad to be here. Thank you, Rod. I so missed being here last week. That'll do. I missed you all badly last week. It was terrible. It wasn't really. It was awesome. But I did miss you. And I got to Monday and I thought, oh, it's almost time to go home. Someone posted, Rochelle posted photos on Wednesday of the dust storm, and I saw my street and I thought, oh, I want to go home. Isn't that sad? It's really sad. But anyway, I had a great time. As most of you know, it was my son's wedding, and honestly, the most beautiful wedding I've ever been to, and I'm not biased at all. It really was. And if you'd like to see photos, I've got a brag book already, so come and see them after the service. How's your 2 weeks been? Have you had a good one? I've come back to a box, some changed things, looking good. Thank you guys for working so hard. Thank you everyone who worked so hard and continue to work so hard on the building. Thank you to everyone who's held the fort while I've been away. You've done an outstanding job. And it's exciting to be back and getting back in the hang of things. Matt, could you get the DVD ready for announcements, please? Before we have our announcements, we've got a ton of people to pray for. I was just looking through the prayer requests that we have in my little folder, and you know, we've got a number of prayer requests that are just constant. And something I know about God is that He answers prayer. I know that we don't know when or how. Our job is to pray. Our job is to believe, and God's job is to do the work. So we've got people in here believing that their children will get into a school that they desperately need to get into. We've got people here believing for healing from diabetes, healing from cancer, healing from epilepsy, healing from some really major stuff. We've got people needing their homes to sell. We've got people in dire financial circumstances. And if you look at all that, that's a pretty tragic long list. But if you look at it through God's eyes, it's actually something that is about to happen. It's a promise about to be kept. So how about we stand to our feet, and how about we lift these people up? We're going to pray for Renee. We're going to pray for Rochelle again. We've got Rhonda Ben's auntie, Ben Perrin, our youth pastor's auntie, has got both sides of her face are paralysed. She's been in intensive care. She's got Bell's palsy, which means that she can't even eat. She's been just in a terrible way. We've got Chad Chapman, who's been diagnosed with cancer. We've got a lady with breast cancer. We've got Cooper, who's 9, he's got kidney cancer. We've got another child in our local area who comes through food care who needs a kidney transplant. We've got needs, but we've got a God who's greater than all of those needs. So how about we lift these requests up to God with faith in our hearts, with belief that He will move, and let's do it together, hey? Father God, we just lift these up to You. Come on, church, join me and pray. Lord, we just lift these requests up to You. We ask that You will have Your way. Father, I know that You are greater than cancer. You are greater than every need. You are greater than every situation. So right now, we proclaim Your goodness. We proclaim Your promise over each of these people, and we ask that You will have Your way. Father God, we ask that cancer will be healed. We ask that kidney disease will be healed. We ask that epilepsy will be healed. We ask that every situation will be healed in Jesus' name. And Father God, as we join our hearts, as we believe for a miracle, we just thank You because You are such an awesome God. You're a God who answers prayer. You're a God who brings miracles, and we give You all the praise and all the glory. Amen. I have a seat. Church, please keep praying for those people. How about we get that DVD on now? This is our announcements for the week. Do I need to do a little dance? Yes, no, maybe? Okay, I'll keep talking, you keep going. One thing we do have next Sunday, straight after church, go for it, Tony. Maybe not. Yes. Okay, so don't forget, if you're going into church tonight, 7 p.m. start, grand final special. And don't forget, also Switch for all your youth. Parents, you'll be pleased to know that Switch is now free. It does not cost for your youth to go. So that gives you even more incentive to make sure they get there. The youth team has actually decided to cover the cost of transport for them each week. So they're worth, they believe that your youth are worth sowing into. So they believe, how about you sow into your youth and make sure that they're there, because there's great things happening. Pastor Ben is doing a great job with our youth. He is doing a fabulous job, and we need to really uphold him, not only in prayer, but also make sure our youth get along and bring their friends. Okay, transport's not a problem. You've just got to let us know. If you let us know, we'll get your children there. Okay, cool. Come on. You're all very quiet today. It's a bit intimidating when everyone's so quiet. I'm trying to warm them up for our wonderful Leanne, who's going to come and share our message. Come on, how about we give her a great big clap?
Wow. What a great church we have here. And what a great God we have. Amen. What I'm going to be doing is reading some scriptures from Psalms about our great God. And what I want you to do, every time I raise my hand like this at the end of the scripture, I want you to say yes. Okay? You ready? Let's have practice.
Yes!
Very good. Okay. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy.
Yes!
Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord.
Yes.
How great is his joy in the victories you give.
Yes.
O Lord, your great mercy and love.
Yes.
How great is your goodness.
Yes.
How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them.
Yes.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, and that is right. We have a great God who is just great. He has great love. He has great truth. He has greatness. He has great mercy. He has great grace. He has great purpose. He has great destiny. He is such a great God. He has placed this church here because we are a great church. He's planted us here. He has a great purpose. He has a great destiny. He has great love for this church. And he has a great purpose and destiny for this community. That's why he's placed us here, so that we can reach these people in this community and just give them his love, let them to know that what a great God he is. And today, as we give our tithes, we get to put into this great purpose and this great destiny of this church. We get to be able to put into this greatness of this great God. Because it's just not this community that we're putting into, not just to this church. We're actually putting in our tithes towards a great God. So, okay, let's pray. I just thank you, Father. I thank you for you. You're just a great and merciful God. I thank you, Father. I thank you as we give our tithes today. I thank you, Father, that your blessing shall be upon it. And I thank you, Father, just for everything that you are.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you for what is ahead of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now back to our wonderful, amazing, magnificent, wonderful, again, pastor.
Thank you. Now next Sunday, I forgot to finish what I was saying, which is not like me at all. Next Sunday we have a church picnic. We're going to go to Blackhills Park, the one down by the water that we've gone to loads of times before off Bayview Street. We're going to go, what time are we going, Maylee? After church, around 12, 12.30. Bring your lunch, bring cricket sets, footies, anything we can play with because we're going to have fun together. Does that sound good? Yes. Who's coming? Well, there's going to be Maylee and myself and maybe Jenny Hart. Wow, it's going to be great, Males. We'll have fun. Seriously, you need to be there. Because if you're not there, you're going to miss out. Missing out is so bad. I know. I missed out last week. How was last week? Was it great? Did you miss me? No. Okay. I missed you very, very much. How about we pray? Father God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are amazing. Lord, that your love endures forever. Your love is greater than we ever have the capacity to think or imagine. Our poor little brains just can't wrap themselves around how great you are. But Lord, with everything that we are today, we worship you, we thank you, and we ask that you come and have your way. Lord, I take authority over every distracting thing that would come today to try and stop the word of God from reaching your people's hearts. Father, I just declare that your word will go forth with the purpose that you intended for it, that the intent it has will reach hearts and change lives. Father God, I just ask for revelation today, because revelation's what we can live from. It's what we can just base our lives on, is revelation direct from heaven. Father, I ask for revelation today. Give us a revelation of your love. Give us a revelation of all that you are, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to preach on a subject which I actually think is very fitting. I'm preaching on true love today. And after being at my son's wedding last week, I thought that was very appropriate. Come on, give me a little bit of help this morning. I was going to show you a whole lot of photos, but they just don't look good on the screen because we've got too much light. But, I do have a brag book. You've got to see the photos. This is absolutely awesome. And why am I talking about all this? It's all very me, isn't it? It's not actually. You know, true love is something that is so incredible and it's so amazing. But true love isn't found at weddings. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you can see it. But you know what? Normally at weddings, what you see is romantic love. Everyone says, oh, they look so beautiful. The bride and the groom. It's true love. They'll be together forever. But who knows, that often isn't the case. Together forever is actually less than 50% according to our statistics right now. Together forever is actually fairly unusual, even in church circles. If you think it's true love, why isn't it lasting? Is it perhaps because it's not really true love? Or is it because we don't really have an understanding what love is at all? We have an understanding of what romantic love is. We have an understanding of what friendly love is. But true love comes from the heart of God. And we can only know true love when we know God, because God is love. I remember before I was a Christian, you know those little stickers the Baptists used to give out? Emily used to come home with these little stickers from Scripture every week. And one would say, God is the way, the truth, and the light. One would say, God is love, excuse me. One would say something else. They're all Scripture, but I didn't know that back then. And I remember this little sticker. She stuck it on my fridge, and I was really annoyed with her because it was paper and I couldn't get it off. And it just said, God is love. And I thought, yeah, God is love. Yeah. Didn't really think much more about it, but it bugged me. It really bugged me. Every time I looked at my fridge, it bugged me. And I thought, God is love. How can he be love? Love is not something you be. It's what you feel. It's what you feel when you're in love. When you're in love, everything just seems lovely. You walk down the street and the sun's brighter and the flowers are prettier and everything's lovely. But that's not true love, because that fades. Sooner or later you get a dark day. Sooner or later the flowers die. and the romance fades away. But if we want to have true love in our lives, and we do, then we better know what it is, right? Good, you're answering me, I like it. No, seriously, we better know what love is. There's a song, I'm not going to sing that, couldn't do that justice. I want to know what love is. You know what? We were created for love. We were created for it. How do I know that? Because I want it and so do you. You know, something deep within us yearns for love. And we see people doing really stupid things for love every day of our lives. Our culture tells us that love is sex, love is lust, love is a whole lot of things. But that's a counterfeit love. You see, everything pure and holy that God has, Satan counterfeits and makes dirty. And love is not a dirty thing. Love is not something to be sullied. Love is pure and holy. And is meant to bring great honour to God and great honour to you. But if we don't know what love is, we don't know what to do. We don't even know what we're looking for. We think if someone criticises us or corrects us, we think that they don't love us. If someone brings us to a place and says, you know what, you really need to deal with your life, we think that they're being critical and we don't realise that is love. Love has very many forms. But true love is something that Jesus did for us. And true love is laying down your life for God and for your friends. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. That's in John 15:13. Love isn't a feeling. It's not a warm, fuzzy rush of excitement. It's not a heart-pounding, wrenching need to be with that person. That's infatuation. Love's a commitment. Love's a choice. Love's a decision that you make every single day. How many people are married here? Put your hand up. Come on, you're one of them. You know, if you've been married longer than about 5 seconds, that love isn't just a gushy feeling in here. That's not what keeps your marriage going, is it? Love's a choice. Love's a choice through the hard times. It's a choice when your partner's being ugly. It's a choice when you're being ugly for your partner too, believe me. But it is a choice. Love isn't sex. Contrary to what the world would have us believe, love has nothing to do with sex. Sex is what happens as a result of a commitment of love between a man and a woman who are in a marriage covenant. And outside of that, it becomes dirty, it becomes sullied, it becomes everything that Satan would like it to be. It becomes something that brings damage. It doesn't bring healing. But within a marriage relationship, it's beautiful because that is how it's meant to be. So if you haven't had true love, if you haven't felt true love, what are you going to do? Quite often we think, I've been in love with this person, I've been in love with that person, I've been in love with that person. I'm going to say to you, have you really? Because if you're really in love with that person, why aren't they still sitting beside you? Just a thought. I've thought I was in love several times, but here I stand, through my choice or the choice of others, here I stand, and that's a good thing. God is love. God made us to need love. He made us with this thing in us that if we don't get it, we will feel in other ways. Why do you think there's so much addiction in this world? Why do you think there is so much cheapening of relationships? Because we know in here that we need something that we haven't got. You can fill it with food, you can fill it with alcohol, you can fill it with drugs, you can fill it with sex, you can fill it with any addiction, you can fill it with gambling, you can fill it with anything. But none of that will help you because you feel dirtied by it. Love is not supposed to make you feel dirty, it's supposed to make you feel clean. The love of God, when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, what does he do? He washes you, he cleanses you, he forgives you, he makes you new again. That's what love does. Love refreshes, it restores, it heals, it renews. So let's go on a search for love. What's the difference between soulish love and true love? Soulish love sees another person as perfect. You put people on a pedestal, and then you get really upset when they don't measure up to your expectations. See, that's infatuation. It's a love that's saying, if you don't meet my expectations, I'm going to be disappointed. It's me-oriented. Soulish love wants to get its own needs met. It's selfish. It's what's in it for me. It's what can you do for me? Soulish love, you quickly fall in love and you just quickly fall out of love. It's exclusive. It tends to consume you and shut other people out. That makes other relationships and friendships deteriorate. It causes dependence on the other person, which in turn triggers off jealousy and envy. It's all negative because it's all me, 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 I want, I need. It's all this desperate hunger to have someone fill that hole that only God can fill. But true love's very different. True love sees the other person's flaws and decides to love them still. True love wants to serve the other person. True love is selfless. True love is inclusive. It's big enough to include other people. So it doesn't shut everyone out and become this all-consuming thing that destroys a life. It actually broadens your ability to love. It makes you able to love others even more. True love is a relationship that builds over time. It's through time spent together. It's encouraging and free. It's not envious. It's not jealous. But most of all, it's a commitment. It's a choice. Infatuations can be tempting because they're easier. When we're infatuated with someone or something, it's all very nice. It feels good. And true love doesn't always feel good. Excuse me. Sometimes true love hurts. Sometimes true love is just darn hard. And our soul says, no! I don't want to do this anymore. I don't like it. Guess what? Love isn't about like. Love is so much deeper than like. Have a look in Deuteronomy chapter 7 with me. Our pulpit's just slippery. It says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore know, the Lord your God, he is God. He is faithful, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Now God loves us. He loved us first. He loved us before we could ever think of loving him or anybody else. And the reason he loves us is because he made us to love us. He wants to love us. He wants relationship. That's why we've got this hunger. That's why we've got this need. Because if we didn't have this need, we'd never find God. He wants us to want him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to understand what unconditional true love is. But if we never find that, if we never search for it, if all we ever do is be satisfied with soulish love, we're going to get to the end of our lives and feel so ripped off, because suddenly we're going to see that there's so much more. You don't have to have a partner to experience love. You have to have a God. A God that loves you more than anything else. You have to have a relationship. Love comes in relationship. It doesn't come from a fleeting existence. It doesn't come from just running into someone's presence for 5 seconds here and there. It actually comes from spending time, from spending intimate time, from one-on-one time. That's how love is developed. That's how it's developed here on earth, and that's how it's developed in heaven. We need to be spending time with God to develop that love, to understand. We don't even have the capacity to understand what true love is without God in our lives. God built us for love, firstly with him and then with one another. Romans 4:8 says, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, that really is the key of love. God's love does not rest on us being something. He loves us anyway. He's proven it. He sent Jesus before you or I ever even thought of him. He sent Jesus thousands of years ago. He had a plan from the beginning of time to make sure that we could experience his love because he loved us. And there's thousands of people every year who go to hell. They go to a Christless eternity because they don't know love. They don't know God. But see, that's not God's plan. Hell was built for the devil. It's not for man. It never was for man. But so many people miss out. They spend a soulish lifetime and go to a Christless eternity because they feel that need for God with other things. We need to know God is really intent upon love. I looked up the word love and there's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times the word love is mentioned in the Bible. And the majority of those times is God loves us. It says love God and God loves us. That is the key to everything, to our relationship with God. It's love. See, God loves you more today than he did yesterday because he's just bigger than us. And we need to be loving God today more than we did yesterday. But even though that's true, it's also true that God loves you just the same as he did before you were saved as he did after. His love didn't change, your capacity to receive it did. So when you don't know Christ, it's not because he doesn't love you, it's just because you haven't experienced his love yet. He loves you. He loves every part of you. He built you for love. Am I making sense or am I confusing you? In Romans 12, verses 9 to 10, it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. True love puts others first. It's just the way of it. And to be honest, in our humanity, without God, it's very hard to put others first consistently. Anyone find that easy? Putting yourself down, not down as in putting yourself down, but actually telling your soul, soul, be still. I will do this. Soul, shush. I don't want to hear what you like. We are going to love. We're going to choose to love. Every day as Christians, every day as lovers of God, we've got to get out of bed and make a choice to love. When you see that person who irritates you, we have to choose to love. We have to choose to go beyond what our natural impulse is. We've got to choose to go beyond what we like. When we see someone we know is not a lover of Christ, we have to choose to step out of our humanity, out of our frailty, out of our shyness, out of our insufficiency, and actually step into God's love and say, I will extend a hand, even if I'm just rejected, because it's not about me, it's about God, and it's about showing people how real he is, how much he loves us. That's what true love is. True love serves. It serves others. Love does no harm to a neighbour, it says in Romans 13:8. How many times have you hurt someone you loved? I know I can't count the times, and I know you can't either. And we think that we love. I remember when I was in relationship, when I was married, I thought I loved my husband. You know, I hurt him every single day. Sometimes deliberately. Actually, quite often deliberately, let's be honest. Because I didn't know how to love. It's not something I'm proud of now. I was proud of back then, but I'm not now. I'm terribly ashamed of it now. You know, and it's only that God has wiped all that away that I can even admit it. I was terrible. I was a dreadful wife. I should have been shot. I was terrible. Absolutely terrible. Because I thought love was control. And I thought love was about me. And I thought marriage was to serve my purposes, to have my needs met. And all I did was cause damage. Because I didn't know any better. How awesome is it that we know better? That we have an opportunity to know better? That our children that are growing up in church have an opportunity to know so much better than that? Because the way I loved is the way the world loves. I wasn't unusual. I wasn't special. Well, I was, but you know, especially bad. We've got to know. We've got to understand. We've got to get a revelation of love. Because love is what everything rests on. Jesus said, nothing else matters. Love Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and love others as yourself. That's the basis of everything that we do. But not infatuation, soulish love, true love, deep love, honest love, God's love. That's what we need. In 1 Corinthians 13:1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. It's kind. Love does not envy. It does not parade itself. Does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Can you imagine what would happen if each one of us took that seriously? If we took those 8 verses and applied them to our marriage. If we took those 8 verses and applied them to our relationships with our children and our friends and our community and our workplace, imagine what would happen. Imagine the difference we'd make. See, Jesus said, this is how people will know you're a Christian, by the love you have one for another. And that wasn't gushy, ushy, wushy, love you, oh, sweet stuff. It wasn't that kind of love. It was living out the hard times, walking through life and sticking with each other and saying, I choose to love. I choose to be part of what God's doing. I choose to be part of this family I love. Imagine the difference in our world. You know, if you just took one of those verses a day in your week and just decided to live just one of those a day in every part of your life, you would be transformed and so would every relationship you have. Because all of a sudden, you'd be operating out of God's strength and God's love and God's equipping and not your own. Our best attempt at love is always going to fall short. Always. Because we can't do it. You just can't do it. Stop trying. Just can't do it. Mother Teresa didn't do what she did out of her own strength. She did it out of relationship with God. Very deep relationship with God. Martin Luther King didn't do what he did in his own strength. He did it out of relationship with God. If you look at every married couple that you know who truly love each other, you will find there is a belief in them. There is a spiritual belief, even if they don't believe in God. They believe in commitment. They know that love is a choice. They know that love is so much bigger than what one person can do. The Bible says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How does that work? Christ loved the church so much he gave everything. But you know, that verse isn't just for husbands, it's for all of us. The whole Bible's for all of us. It's not separated into men's verses and women's verses. It's all of us. Wives, what would happen if you loved your husbands the way Christ loved the church? What would happen if you decided to serve in a way you've never served in your marriage before? I believe we'd have some pretty healthy marriages. And I also believe we'd have some pretty happy people. Because when you serve, you find joy. There is great joy in serving others. There's great joy. We think that me will make us happy, but it actually doesn't. It makes us more and more unhappy. And as soon as we lay that down, as soon as we say, no, I will serve. So I'll be quiet. I will serve. I will bless. I will be a blessing. All of a sudden, there is such a reward that comes back to us. Because when you love, when you choose to love, God multiplies. Because it's his heart. God is love. He doesn't just love. We just love. We're not love. Sorry. The part of you that's God is. But we just don't have the capacity that God has. God can't help but love because it is who he is. It's his character. It's a huge concept, isn't it? Colossians 3:9 says, don't lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there's neither Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Do you want to be perfect? Put on love. Love bonds you to perfection. How cool is that? That's massive. I just love that verse. Love is the bond of perfection. It's what attaches you to something so beautiful, so holy, so untainted, that'll change you forever. Love's a fruit of the Spirit. That's how I know you can't do it by yourself. You must get it from the Spirit of God. You've got to. It's got to be God. You know, the things I've learned about true love is that on my own, I really suck at it. I'm so bad at it. But in God and with God changing my heart and changing my life, I'm getting better. We'll be getting better all the days of my life. True love isn't a natural state of being. It's a learned skill. It's a behavior that you can learn. The world's version of love is a cheap imitation. But there's no such thing as true love without the Holy Spirit. So as you look at your life today, as you look at your God today, how are you going in the love stakes? Big sigh, Rod. What can you do today to add value to your life? What can you do today to make a choice to walk God's way in love instead of your own? Each one of us has so much to learn, but the great news is that we can. The great news is that God wants us to, and he's there ready to equip us, ready to help us. How about we pray together? Father God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that love is something that you are. It's not just something you do. Lord, you don't turn it on and off. It is who you are. Lord, we want to become more like Jesus. We want to become more like true. truth and love every day of our lives. Father, we want to be able to take what your word says and put it to action in our life. But Lord, we can't do it by working hard. We can't do it by just trying to be good people. We can only do it by the power of your Holy Spirit. So Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit to come and touch us today. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll come and you'll teach us, that you'll soften our hearts towards one another, that we'll become people who are great lovers of man, of God, of all that you've put before us. Lord, help us to champion one another. Help us to champion our spouse. Help us to champion the cause of our children. Help us to love beyond what our capacity to love is. Lord, as we surrender ourselves to you, we just ask that you have your way. Come and Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, how about we get the music team up this morning? We're going to finish off with a song. If you need prayer, if you need anything, we're here to pray for you.